from the great American Southwest, from the very low desert. Good morning, good evening, whatever the case may be, to all my listeners around the world. I am your host, Lionel Tavares, and as always, extremely glad and blessed to be here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So welcome everybody back to the show, The Sabbath at Midnight, and this is part three of the book of Jasher. We left off on, I believe, episode 13, and so far going down the line, we started off in the Garden of Eden, moving down to the days before the flood, into the flood, and moving past that to Terah having the birth of Abram and all the sorcerers and the conjurers of Nimrod saw a sign in the sky. And they immediately told them that Abraham was going to be the one to take you out. So, you know, they devised a plan. They told Terah, you need to bring your kid to me so I can kill him. Otherwise, we all suffer. And Terah could not do it. He took his handmaiden's child, I believe, gave it to Nimrod in the disguise of Nimrod, thinking it was Abraham. And Nimrod smashed the baby's head on the floor, killed him. And then I believe 50 years go by and Abram comes back to the kingdom of Nimrod, and he comes in and stirs up a bunch of drama. He goes to his dad's house. He breaks all the idols and basically shows his dad how ridiculous his belief is that these statues were the creator of everything in all the universe. And then this attention gets brought to Nimrod, and Nimrod gets very upset of what he did to these idols. So long story short, go back to the episode, they condemn him to death and throw him in a furnace, and his brother got burnt, but he didn't get burnt. So we kind of leave off from there where Nimrod is at awe and wondering why Abram was thrown in a furnace and survived. And even Nimrod believed that, you know, this has to be the power of the Lord Almighty. And he lets Abram go on his way, gives him a bunch of gifts and offerings, and we kind of leave off from there, and we're gonna continue from there. All right, so let's get ready for the show, and let's get into this episode, starting off with chapter 14. Also, don't forget to like, share, subscribe to us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and we are now on YouTube, which I'm doing right now. Trying to push the YouTube thing out there more, try to get my face out there, get other people's face out there, get the stories out there. Also, if you want to become a member, subscribe. All our links are on the Buzzsprout and all the episodes on Spotify. You could sign up right there. It's only $7 a month. Help the show grow, get access to exclusive episodes, and yeah, let's see what happens with that, and let's get ready, hit the head, grab yourself a coffee, kick your feet up, and let's get ready for the show. All right, let's get on with the show. I'm kind of in a really uncomfortable position. I need to get a new desk, but let's make this work. If there's a will, there's a way. All right, starting off with chapter 14. In those days, there was in the land of Shinar a wise man who had understanding in all wisdom and of a beautiful appearance, but he was poor and indigent. His name was Rikayon, and he was hard set to support himself. And he resolved to go to Egypt to Ahasuerus, the son of Anom, king of Egypt, to show the king his wisdom, for perhaps he might find grace in his sight to raise him up and give him maintenance. And Rikayon did so. And when Rikayon came to Egypt, he asked the inhabitants of Egypt concerning the king. And the inhabitants of Egypt told him the custom of the king of Egypt, for it was then the custom of... Gets kind of confusing. And when Rikayon came to Egypt, he asked the inhabitants of Egypt concerning the king. And the inhabitants of Egypt told him the custom of the king of Egypt. For it was then the custom of king of Egypt that he went from his royal palace and was seen abroad only one day in the year. And after that, the king would return to his palace to remain there. And on the day when the king went forth, he passed judgment in the land, and everyone having a suit came from the king that day to obtain his request. And when Rekayon heard of the custom in Egypt and that he could not come into the presence of the king, he grieved greatly and was very sorrowful. And in the evening, Rekayon went out and found a house in ruins, formerly a bakehouse in Egypt. And he abode there all night in bitterness of soul and pinched with hunger. And he sleep was removed from his eyes. And Rekayon considered within himself what he should do in the town until the king made his appearance, and how he might maintain himself there. And he rose in the morning and walked about, and he met in his way those who sold vegetables and various sorts of seed with which they supplied the inhabitants. And Rekayon wished to do the same in order to get a maintenance in the city, but he was unacquainted with the custom of the people, and he was like a blind man among them. And he went and obtained vegetables to sell for his support, and the rabble assembled about him and ridiculed him, and he took his vegetables and took his vegetables from him and left him nothing. And he rose up from there in bitterness of soul and went siding to the bakehouse in which he had remained all night before, and he slept there the second night. And on the night again, he reasoned with himself how he could save himself from starvation. And he devised a scheme how to act. And he rose up in the morning and acted ingenuously and went and hired 30 strong men of rabble, carrying their war instruments in their hands. And he led them to the top of the Egyptian sepulcher. And when he placed them there and commanded them, saying, "Thus saith the king, strengthen yourselves and be valiant men, and let no man be buried here until 200 pieces of silver be given, and then he may be buried." And those men did according to the order of Rekayon to the people of Egypt the whole of that year. And in 8 months' time, Rekayon and his men gathered great riches of silver and gold, and Rekayon took a great quantity of horses and other animals, and he hired more men, and he gave them horses, and they remained with him. And when the year came round, at the time the king went forth into the town, all the inhabitants of Egypt assembled together to speak to him concerning the work of Rekayon and his men. And the king went forth on the appointed day, and all the Egyptians came before him and cried unto him, saying, "May the king live forever. What is this thing that thou doest in the town to thy servants, to not suffer a dead body to be buried until so much silver and gold be given? Was there ever the like unto this done in the whole earth from the days of the former kings? Yeah, even from the days of Adam until this day, that the dead should not be buried only for a set price. We know it to be the custom of kings to take a yearly tax from the living, but thou dost not only do this, but from the dead also thou exercise a tax by day by day." I'm sorry, it's really hard to read with these old school words. Let me see. All right. Let me see. What did I leave off at? I lost my place. Give me a second. May the king live forever. Okay. All right, next verse. "Now, O king, we can no more beat this, for the whole city is ruined on this account, and thou dost not know it." And when the king heard all that they had spoken, he was very wroth, and his anger burned within him at this affair, for he had known nothing of it. And the king said, "Who and where is he that dares to do this wicked thing in my land without my command? Surely you will tell me." And they told them all the works of Rekayon and his men, and the king's anger was aroused, and he ordered Rekayon and his men to be brought before him. Give me a second.
Do you want to dig deeper in your study of Reformed theology? The All of Life for God podcast, presented by Reformation Heritage Books, offers you weekly sermons, audiobook chapters, and interviews that will help strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are you waiting for? Just search All of Life for God wherever you get your podcast and start listening today.
Presented by Reformation Heritage Books.
And Rikayon took about 1,000 children, sons and daughters, and clothed them in silk and embroidery. And he set them upon horses and sent them to the king by means of his men. And he also took a great quantity of silver and gold and precious stones and a strong and beautiful horse as a present for the king, with which he came before the king and bowed down to the earth before him. And the king, his servants, and all the inhabitants of Egypt wondered at the work of Rikayon. And they saw his riches and the present that he had brought to the king. And it was greatly pleased the king, and he wondered at it. And when Rikayon sat before him, the king asked him concerning all his works. And Rikayon spoke all his words wisely before the king, his servants, and all the inhabitants of Egypt. And when the king heard the words of Rikayon and his wisdom, Rikayon found grace in his sight. And he met with grace and kindness from all the servants of the king and from all the inhabitants of Egypt on the account of his wisdom and excellent speeches. And from that time they loved him exceedingly. And the king answered and said to Rikayon, "Thy name shall no more be called Rikayon, but Pharaoh shall be thy name, since thou didst exact a tax from the dead." And he called his name Pharaoh. And the king and his subjects loved Rikayon for his wisdom, and they consulted with all the inhabitants of Egypt to make him perfect under the king. And all the inhabitants of Egypt and its wise men did so, and it was made a law in Egypt. And they made Rikayon Pharaoh perfect under Ahasuerus, king of Egypt. And Rikayon Pharaoh governed over Egypt daily, administering justice to the whole city. But Ahasuerus, the king, would judge the people of the land one day in the year when he went out to make his appearance. And Rikayon Pharaoh cunningly usurped the government of Egypt, and he exacted a tax from all the inhabitants of Egypt. And all the inhabitants of Egypt greatly loved Rikayon Pharaoh, and they made a decree to call every king that should reign over them and their seed in Egypt Pharaoh. Therefore, all the kings that reigned in Egypt from that time forward were called Pharaoh unto this day. So I guess we know where the word Pharaoh comes from now. Chapter 15. And in that year there was a heavy famine throughout the land of Canaan, and the inhabitants of the land could not remain on account of the famine, for it was very grievous. And Abram and all belonging to him rose and went down to Egypt on account of the famine. And when they were at the brook Mitzrayim, they remained there some time to rest from the fatigue of the road. And Abram and Sarah were walking at the border of brook Mitzrayim. And Abram beheld his wife Sarah, that she was very beautiful. And Abram said to his wife Sarah, "Since God has created thee with such a beautiful countenance, I am afraid of the Egyptians, lest they should slay me and take thee away. For the fear of God is not in these places. Surely then thou shalt do this, say that thou art my sister, to all that may ask thee, in order that it may be well with me, and that we may live and not be put to death." And Abram commanded the same to all those that came with him to Egypt on account of the famine. Also his nephew Lot, he commanded, saying, "If the Egyptians ask thee according Sarah, say she is the sister of Abram." And yet with all these orders, Abram did not put confidence in them, but he took Sarah and placed her in a chest and concealed it amongst their vessels. For Abram was greatly concerned about Sarah on account of the wickedness of the Egyptians. And Abram and all belonging to him rose up from the brook of Mitzrayim and came to Egypt. And they had scarcely entered the gates of the city when the guard stood up to them, saying, "Give tithe to the king from what you have, and then you may come into the town." And Abram and those that were with him did so. And Abram with the people that were with him came to Egypt. And when they came, they brought the chest in which Sarah was concealed, and the Egyptians saw the chest. And the king's servants approached Abram, saying, "What hast thou here in the chest which we have not seen? Now open thou the chest and give tithe to the king of all that it contains. And Abram said, this chest will not open, but all you demand upon it I will give. And Pharaoh's officers answered Abram, saying, it is a chest of precious stones. Give us the tenth thereof. Abram said, all that you desire I will give, but you must not open the chest. And the king's officers pressed Abram, and they reached the chest and opened it with force. And they saw, and behold, a beautiful woman was in the chest. And when the officers of the king beheld Sarah, they were struck with admiration at her beauty. And all the princes and servants of Pharaoh assembled to see Sarah, for she was very beautiful. And the king's officers ran and told Pharaoh all that they had seen. And they praised Sarah to the king, and Pharaoh ordered her to be brought, and the woman came before the king. And Pharaoh beheld Sarah, and she pleased him exceedingly, and he was struck with her beauty. And the king rejoiced greatly on her account, and made presents to those who brought him the tidings concerning her. And the woman was then brought to Pharaoh's house, and Abram grieved on the account of his wife, and he prayed to the Lord to deliver her from the hands of Pharaoh. And Sarah also prayed at the time and said, O Lord God, thou didst tell my lord Abram to go from his land and from his father's house to the land of Canaan, and thou didst promise to do well with him if he would perform thy commands. Now behold, we have done that which thou didst command us, and we left our land and our families, and we went to a strange land, to a people whom we have not known before. And we came to this land to avoid the famine, and this evil accident has befallen me. Now therefore, O Lord God, deliver us and save us from the hand of this oppressor, and do well with me for the sake of thy mercy. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and the Lord sent an angel to deliver Sarah from the power of Pharaoh. And the king came and sat before Sarah. Behold, an angel of the Lord was standing over them. And he appeared to Sarah and said to her, do not fear, for the Lord has heard thy prayer. And the king approached Sarah and said to her, what is that man to thee who brought thee hither? And she said, he is my brother. And the king said, it is incumbent upon us to make him great, to elevate him, and to do unto him all the good which thou shalt command us. And at that time the king sent to Abram silver and gold and precious stones in abundance, together with cattle, manservants and maidservants. And the king ordered Abram to be brought, and he sat in the court of the king's house. And the king greatly exalted Abram on that night. And the king approached to speak to Sarah, and he reached out his hand to touch her. When the angel smote him heavily, he was terrified, and he refrained from reaching to her. So I guess this guy was reaching to touch her in some weird way, and some kind of force hit him, and it scared him. Moving forward. And when the king came near to Sarah, the angel smote him to the ground, and acted thus to him the whole night, and the king was terrified. So I guess he was trying to sleep with her. Every time he tried sleeping with her, something happened to him. You know, that's what happens when you mess around with God. And the angel on that night smote heavily all the servants of the king and his whole household on the account of Sarah. And there was a great lamentation that night amongst the people of Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh, seeing the evil that befell him, said, surely on account of this woman has this thing happened to me. And he removed himself at some distance from her and spoke pleasing words to her. And the king said to Sarah, tell me, I pray thee, concerning the man with whom thou camest here. And Sarah said, this man is my husband. And I said to thee that he was my brother, for I was afraid lest thou shouldest put him to death through wickedness. And the king kept away from Sarah, and the plagues of the angel of the Lord ceased from him and his household. And Pharaoh knew that he was smitten on account of Sarah, and the king was greatly astonished at this. And in the morning, the king called for Abram, and he said to him, what is this thou hast done to me? Why didst thou say she is my sister, owning to which I took her unto me for a wife? And this heavy plague has therefore come upon me and my household. Now therefore, here is thy wife. Take her and go from our land, lest we all die on her account. And Pharaoh took more cattle, men, servants, and maidservants, and silver and gold to give to Abram. And he returned unto him Sarah his wife. And the king took a maiden whom he begot by his concubines, and he gave her to Sarah for a handmaid. And the king said to his daughter, it is better for thee, my daughter, to be a handmaid in this man's house than to be a mistress in my house. After we beheld the evil that befell us on account of this woman, and Abram arose, and he and all belonging to him went away from Egypt, and Pharaoh ordered some of his men to accompany him and all that went with them. And Abram returned to the land of Canaan, to the place where he had made the altar, where he at first had pitched his tent. And Lot, the son of Haran, Abram's brother, had a heavy stock of cattle, flocks and herds and tents. For the Lord was bountiful to them on account of Abram. And when Abram was dwelling in the land of herdsmen of Lot, quarreled with the herdsmen of Abram, for their property was too great for them to remain together in the land, and the land could not bear them on account of their cattle. And when Abram's herdsmen went to feed their flock, they would not go into the fields of the people of the land, but the cattle of Lot's herdsmen did otherwise, for they were suffered to feed in the fields of the people of the land. And the people of the land saw this occurrence daily, and they came to Abram and quarreled with him on account of Lot's herdsmen. And Abram said to Lot, what is this thou art doing to me, to make me despicable to the inhabitants of the land, that thou orderest thy herdsmen to feed thy cattle in the fields of other people? Dost thou not know that I am a stranger in this land amongst the children of Canaan? And why wilt thou do this unto me? And Abram quarreled daily with Lot on account of this, but Lot would not listen to Abram, and he continued to do the same, and the inhabitants of the land came and told Abram. And Abram said to Lot, how long wilt thou be to me for a stumbling block with the inhabitants of the land? Now I beseech thee, let there be no more quarreling between us, for we are kinsmen. But I pray thee, separate from me. Go and choose a place where thou mayest dwell with thy cattle and all belonging to thee, but keep thyself at a distance from me, thou and thy household, and be not afraid in going from me. For if any one do an injury to thee, let me know, and I will avenge thy cause from him. Only remove from me. And when Abram had spoken all these words to Lot, then Lot arose and lifted up his eyes toward the plain of Jordan. And when he saw that the whole of this place was well watered and good for man, as well as affording pasture for the cattle. And Lot went from Abram to that place, and he there pitched his tent, and he dwelt in Sodom, and there were separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he pitched his tent therefore, and Abram remained in that place many years. Chapter 16. And at that time, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, sent to all the neighboring kings, to Nimrod, king of Shinar, who was then under his power, and to Tidal, king of Goyim, and to Arioch, king of Elasar, with whom he made a covenant, saying, come up to me and assist me, that we may smite all the towns of Sodom and its inhabitants, for they have rebelled against me these 13 years. And these four kings went up with all their camps, about 800,000 men, and they went as they were and smote every man they found in their road. And the five kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shember, king of Zeboim, Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and Bela, king of Zorah, went out to meet them, and they all joined together in the valley of Siddim. And these nine kings made war in the valley of Siddim. Of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah were smitten before the kings of Elam. And the valley of Siddim was full of lime pits, and the kings of Elam pursued the kings of Sodom, and the kings of Sodom with their camps fled and fell into the lime pits. And all that remained went to the mountain of safety, and the five kings of Elam came after them and pursued them to the gates of Sodom, and they took all that there was in Sodom. And they plundered all the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and his property. And they seized all the goods of the cities of Sodom. And they went away, and Unic, Abram's servant, And Eunuch, Abram's servant who was in battle, saw this and told Abram all the kings had done to the cities of Sodom and that Lot was taken captive by them. And Abram heard this and he rose up with about 318 men that were with him. And he that night pursued these kings and smote them, and they fell before Abram and his men. And there was none remaining but the four kings who fled, and they went each his own road. And Abram recovered all the property of Sodom, and he also recovered Lot and his property, his wives and little ones, and all belonging to him, so that Lot lacked nothing. And when he returned from smiting these kings, he and his men passed the valley of Siddim, where the kings had made war together, and Bera, king of Sodom, and the rest of his men that were with him went out from the lime pits into which they had fallen to meet Abram and his men. And Adonzedek, I think it's how you say it, king of Jerusalem, the same was Shem, went out with his men to meet Abram and his people with bread and wine, and they remained together in the valley of Melech. And Adonzedek blessed Abram, and Abram gave him a tenth from all that he had brought from the spoil of his enemies. From Adonzedek was a priest before God, and all the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah who were there with their servants approached Abram and begged of him to return them their servants who he had made captive, and to take unto himself all the property. And Abram answered the king of Sodom, saying, "As the Lord liveth, who created heaven and earth, and who redeemed my soul from all affliction, and who delivered me this day from all my enemies and gave them into my hand, I will not take anything belonging to you, that you may not boast tomorrow, saying, 'Abram became rich from our property that he saved.' For the Lord my God, in whom I trust, said unto me, 'Thou shalt lack nothing, for I will bless thee in all the works of thy hands. And now therefore, behold, here is all belonging to you. Take it and go. As the Lord liveth, I will not take from you a living soul down to a shoe tick or thread, excepting the expense of the food of those who went out with me to battle, as also the portions of men who went with me, Anar, Ashcol, and Mamre, they and their men, as well as those also who had remained to watch the baggage. They shall take their portion of the spoil.' And the kings of Sodom gave Abram according to all that he had said, and they pressed him to take of whatever he chose, but he would not. And he sent away the kings of Sodom and the remainder of their men, and he gave them orders about Lot, and they went to their respective places. And Lot, his brother's son, he also sent away with his property, and he went with them. And Lot returned to his home, to Sodom, and Abram and his people returned to their home, to the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron. At that time the Lord again appeared to Abram in Hebron, and he said to him, 'Do not fear, thy reward is very great before me, for I will not leave thee until I shall have multiplied thee and blessed thee and made thy seed like the stars in heaven, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And I will give unto thy seed all the lands that thou seest with thine eyes. To them will I give them for an inheritance forever, and only be strong and do not fear. Walk before me and be perfect.' And in the 78th year of the life of Abram, in that year did Reu, the son of Peleg, and all the days of Reu were 239 years, and he died. And Sarah, the daughter of Haran, Abram's wife, was still barren in those days. She did not bear to Abram either son or daughter. And when she saw that she bare no children, she took her handmaid Hagar, whom Pharaoh had given her, and she gave her to Abram, her husband, for a wife. For Hagar learned all the ways of Sarah, as Sarah taught her. She was not in any way deficient in following her good ways. And Sarah said to Abram, 'Behold, here is my handmaid Hagar, go to her, that she may bring forth upon my knees, that I may also obtain children through her.' And at the end of the 10 years of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, which is the 85th year of Abram's life, Sarah gave Hagar unto him. And Abram hearkened to the voice of his wife Sarah, and he took his handmaid Hagar, and Abram came to her, and she conceived. And when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she rejoiced greatly, and her mistress was despised in her eyes. And she said within herself, "This can only be that I am better before God than Sarah, my mistress, for all the days that my mistress has been with my Lord, she did not conceive, but me, the Lord has caused in so short a time to conceive by him." And when Sarah saw that Hagar had conceived by Abram, Sarah was jealous of her handmaid. And Sarah said within herself, "This is surely nothing else but that she must be better than I am." And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee, for at the time when thou didst pray before the Lord for children, why didst thou not pray on my account, that the Lord should give me seed from thee? And when I speak to Hagar in thy presence, she despises my words, because she has conceived, and thou wilt say nothing to her. May the Lord judge between me and thee for what thou hast done to me. And when Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do unto her as it may seem good in thy eyes." And Sarah afflicted her, and Hagar fled from her to the wilderness. And an angel of the Lord found her in the place where she had fled by a well. And she said to her, "Do not fear, for I will multiply thy seed, for thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. Now then, return to Sarah thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands." And Hagar called the place of that well Beer Lahori. It is between Kadesh and the wilderness of Bered. And Hagar at that time returned to her master's house. And at the end of days, Hagar bare a son to Abram, and Abram called his name Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when he begot him. Chapter 17. And in those days, in the 91st year of the life of Abram, the children of Chittim made war with the children of Tubal. From when the Lord had scattered the sons of men upon the face of the earth, the children of Chittim went and embodied themselves in the plain of Canopia. And they built themselves cities there and dwelt by the river Tibru. And the children of Tubal dwelt in Tushkana, and their boundaries reached the river of Tibaru. And the children of Tubal built a city in Tuscanon, and they called the name Sibana, after the name of Sibana, son of Tubal, their father, and they dwelt there until this day. And it was at that time the children of Chittim made war with the children of Tubal, and the children of Tubal were smitten before the children of Chittim, and the children of Chittim caused 370 men to fall from the children of Tubal. And at that time the children of Tubal swore to the children of Chittim, saying, "You shall not intermarry amongst us, and no man shall give his daughter to any of the sons of Chittim." For all the daughters of Tubal were in those days fair, for no women were then found in the whole earth so fair as the daughters of Tubal. And all who delighted in the beauty of women went to the daughters of Tubal and took wives from them. And the sons of men, kings and princes who greatly delighted in the beauty of women, took wives in those days from the daughters of Tubal. So I guess Tubal had couldn't stop having daughters that were supermodels, I guess. And when you look up the word fair, it means light skinned and very light complected. So if this is what this translation comes down to, then these were very Caucasian looking women. Some hot blondes, you know, joking around, but you know, that's pretty much what I get from this. Continuing. And at the end of 3 years, after the children of Tubal had sworn to the children of Chittim not to give them their daughters for wives, about 20 men of the children of Chittim went to take some of the daughters of Tubal, but they found none. For the children of Tubal kept their oaths to not intermarry with them, and they would not break their oaths. And in the days of harvest, the children of Tubal went into their fields to get in their harvest. When the young men of Chittim assembled and went to the city of Sibana, and each man took a young woman from the daughters of Tubal, and they came to their cities, and the children of Tubal heard of it, and they went to make war with them, and they could not prevail over them, for the mountain was exceedingly high from them. And when they saw they could not prevail over them, they returned to their land. And at the revolution of the year, the children of Tubal went and hired about 10,000 men from those cities that were near them, and they went to war with the children of Chittim. And the children of Tubal went to war with the children of Chittim to destroy their land and to distress them. And in this engagement, the children of Tubal prevailed over the children of Chittim. And the children of Chittim, seeing that they were greatly distressed, lifted up the children which they had had by the daughters of Tubal upon the wall which had been built to be before the eyes of the children of Tubal. And the children of Chittim said to them, "Have you come to make war with your own sons and daughters, and have we not been considered your flesh and bone from that time till now?" And when the children of Tubal heard this, they ceased to make war with the children of Chittim, and they went away. And they returned to their cities, and the children of Chittim at that time assembled and built two cities by sea. And they called one Pertu and the other Ariza. And Abram, the son of Terah, was then 90 years old. At that time the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, "I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will greatly multiply thy seed. And this is the covenant which I make between me, thee, that every male child be circumcised, thou and thy seed after thee. At 8 days old shall it be circumcised, and this covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And now therefore thy name shall no more be called Abram, but Abraham. And thy wife shall no more be called Sarah, but Sarah." So basically, when it says, "thy wife shall no more be called Sarah," it's spelled S-A-R-A-I. So it's either Sarah or Saria. But now it's spelled, when it says, "you shall be called no more Sarah or Saria, but Sarah," spelled S-A-R-A-H, just for your information. So I might be butchering a lot of these words. Again, I'm no scholar. I'm just a big obsessed person of Jesus and the Bible and history and everything conspiracy around it. So bear with me on the big college level words. All right, continuing. "For I will bless you both, and I will multiply your seed after you, that you shall become a great nation, and kings shall come forth from you." Chapter 18. And Abram rose and did all that God had ordered him, and he took the men of his household and those brought with his money, and he circumcised them as the Lord had commanded him. And there was not one left whom he did not circumcise, and Abram and his son Ishmael were circumcised in the flesh of their foreskin. 13 years old was Ishmael when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the third day Abraham went out of his tent and sat at the door to enjoy the heat of the sun during the pain of his flesh. And the Lord appeared to him in the plain of Mamre and sent three of his ministering angels to visit him. And he was sitting at the door of the tent, and he lifted his eyes and saw, and lo, three men were coming from a distance, and he rose up and ran to meet them. And he bowed down to them and brought them into his house. And he said to them, "If now I have found favor in your sight, turn in and eat a morsel of bread." And he pressed them, and they turned in, and he gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he placed them under a tree at the door of the tent. And Abram ran and took a calf, tender and good, and he hastened to kill it and gave it to his servant Eleazar to dress. And Abram said to Sarah into the tent, and he said to her, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes to cover the pot containing the meat." And she did so. And Abram hastened and brought before them butter and milk, beef and mutton, and gave it before them to eat before the flesh of the calf was sufficiently done. And they did eat. And when they had done eating, one of them said to him, "I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And the men afterward departed and went their ways to the places to which they were sent. In those days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and of the whole 5 cities were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And they provoked the Lord with their abominations, and they strengthened in aging abominably and scornfully before the Lord. And their wickedness and crimes were in those days great before the Lord. And they had in their land a very extensive valley about half a day's walk, and in it there were fountains of water and great deal of herbage surrounding the water. And all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah went there four times in a year with their wives and children and all belonging to them. And they rejoiced there with timbrels and dances. And in the time of rejoicing, there would all arise and lay hold of their neighbors' wives, and some the virgin daughters of their neighbors. And they enjoyed them, and each man saw his wife and daughter in the hands of his neighbor and did not say a word. Wow. That's some pretty sick stuff, man. And they did so from morning to night, and they afterward returned home, each man to his house and each woman to her tent. So they always did four times in a year. And when a stranger came into their cities and brought goods which he had purchased with a view to dispose of there, the people of these cities would assemble men, women, and children, young and old, and go to the man and take his goods by force, giving a little to each man until there was an end to all the goods of the owner which he had brought into the land. And if the owner of the goods quarreled with them, saying, "What is this work which you have done to me?" then they would approach to him one by one, and each would show him the little which he took and taunt him, saying, "I only took that little which thou didst give me." And when he heard this from them, he would arise and go from them in sorrow and bitterness of soul. When they would all arise and go after him and drive him out of the city with great noise and tumult. These are some very evil and demonic people, man. They're over here sharing wives and husbands and their daughters sleeping around. That's some sick stuff. And then they just rob people for no reason. A multitude of people, and they're just kind of teasing them, saying like, "Why are you crying, man? I only took, you know, one strawberry out of your 100, but yet 100 people took one strawberry each," you know, just as an example. Anyways, moving forward. And there was a man from the country of Elam who was leisurely going on the road, seated upon his ass, which carried a fine mantle of diverse colors, and the mantle was bound with a cord upon the ass. And the man was on his journey, passing through the street of Sodom, when the sun set in the evening, and he remained there in order to abide during the night. But no one would let him into his house. And at that time there was in Sodom a wicked and mischievous man, one skillful to do evil, and his name was Hedad. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the streets of the city, and he came to him and said, "Whence comest thou, and whither dost thou go?" And the man said to him, "I'm traveling from Hebron to Elam, where I belong. And as I passed to the sun set, and no one would suffer me to enter his house, though I had bread and water and also straw and provender for my ass, and am short of nothing." And Hedad answered and said to him, "All that thou shalt want shall be supplied by me, but in the street thou shalt not abide all night." And Hedad brought him to his house, and he took off the mantle from the ass with the cord and brought them to his house. And he gave the ass straw and provender whilst the traveler ate and drank in Hedad's house, and he abode there that night. And in the morning the traveler rose up early to continue his journey, when Hedad said to him, "Wait, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and then go." And the man did so, and he remained with him. And they both ate and drank together during the day, when the man rose up to go. And Hedad said to him, "Behold, now the day is declining. Thou hadst better remain all night, that thy heart may be comforted." And he pressed him so that he tarried there all night. And on the second day he rose up early to go away, when Hedad pressed him, saying, "Comfort thy heart with morsel of bread and then go." And he remained and ate with him, and also the second day. And then the man rose up to continue his journey. And Hedad said to him, "Behold, now the day is declining. Remain with me to comfort thy heart, and in the morning rise up early and go thy way." And the man would not remain, but rose and saddled his ass. Whilst he was saddling his ass, the wife of Hedad said to her husband, "Behold, this man has remained with us for 2 days, eating and drinking, and he has given us nothing. And now shall he go away from us without giving us anything?" And Hedad said to her, "Be silent." And the man saddled his ass to go, and he asked Hedad to give him the cord and mantle to tie it upon the ass. And Hedad said to him, "What sayest thou?" And he said to him, "That thou, my lord, shalt give me the cord and the mantle made with divers colors, which thou didst conceal with thee in thy house to take care of it." And Hadad answered the man, saying, "This is the interpretation of thy dream. The cord which thou didst see means that thy life will be lengthened out like a cord. And having seen the mantle colored with all sorts of colors means that thou shalt have a vineyard in which thou wilt plant trees of all fruits." And the traveler answered, saying, "Not so, my lord, for I was awake when I gave thee the cord, and also a mantle woven with different colors, which thou didst take off the ass to put them by for me." And Hadad answered and said, "Surely I have told thee the interpretation of thy dream, and it is a good dream, and this is the interpretation thereof. Now the sons of men give me 4 pieces of silver, which is my charge for interpreting dreams, and of thee only I require 3 pieces of silver." And the man was provoked at the words of Hadad, and he cried bitterly, and he brought Hadad to Sarek, judge of Sodom. And the man laid his cause before Sarek, the judge. When Hadad replied, saying, "It is not so, but thus the matter stands," and the judge said to the traveler, "This man Hadad telleth the truth, for he is famed in the cities for the accurate interpretation of dreams." And the man cried out at the word of the judge, and he said, "Not so, my lord, for it was in the day that I gave him the cord and mantle which was upon the ass in order to put them in his house." And they both disputed before the judge, the one saying, "Thus the matter was," and the other declaring otherwise. And Hadad said to the man, "Give me 4 pieces of silver that I charge for my interpretations of dreams. I will not make any allowance, and give me the expense of 4 meals that thou didst eat in my house." And the man said to Hadad, "Truly I will pay thee for what I ate in thy house. Only give me the cord and mantle which thou didst conceal in thy house." And Hadad replied before the judge and said to the man, "Did I not tell thee the interpretation of thy dream? The cord means that thy day shall be prolonged like a cord, and the mantle that thou wilt have a vineyard in which thou wilt plant all kinds of fruit trees. This is the proper interpretation of the dream. Now give me the 4 pieces of silver that I require as compensation, for I will make thee no allowance." And the man cried out at the words of Hadad, and they both quarreled before the judge. And the judge gave orders to his servants, who drove them rashly from the house. And they went away quarreling from the judge, when the people of Sodom heard them, and they gathered about them, and they exclaimed against the stranger, and they drove him rashly from the city. And the man continued his journey upon his ass with bitterness of soul, lamenting and weeping. And whilst he was going along, he wept at what had happened to him in the corrupt city of Sodom. So, man, this guy just came over. Well, he didn't even want to go over. This guy offered him to give him his house. And he basically is kind of like, you know, kind of like jail. They're over here, you know, manipulating you. "Oh, you can have this, have that. I'm going to give you this snack and this food. You can stay here. Don't worry about it, bro." And then the next day, "Hey, man, I need payment for this." And the payment is always more than what you can handle. This is like some kind of shark loan type of stuff, you know. Then again, this is happening in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the most evil city to ever be around, you know. So let's move forward to chapter 19. I'll probably do 1 or 2 more chapters and we're going to call it a day. Chapter 19. And the cities of Sodom had 4 judges to 4 cities. And these were the names: Sarek in the city of Sodom, Sharkad in Gomorrah, Sabnak in Adma, and Menon in Zeboiim. And Eleazar, Abram's servant, applied to them different names. And he converted Sarek to Shakra, and Sharkad to Shakrura, Zebnak to Kezobim, and Menon to Matzlodin. And by desire of their 4 judges, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had beds erected in the streets of the cities. And if a man came to these places, they laid hold of him and brought him to one of their beds, and by force made him lie in them. Wow. This is basically saying that they had beds all over the city streets. And it's saying here, it says, if a man came to these places, they laid hold. So if you walked by these beds, I guess a bunch of dudes would rape you. This is just vile. This is vile. This is out in the open. Anyways, moving forward. And as he lay down, 3 men would strand at his head and 3 at his feet and measure him by the length of the bed. And if the man was less than the bed, These six men would stretch him at each end, and when he cried out to them, they would not answer him. And if he was longer than the bed, they would draw together the two sides of the bed at each end until the man had reached the gates of death. And if he continued to cry out to them, they would answer him, saying, "Thus shall it be done to a man that cometh into our land." And when a man heard all these things that the people of the cities of Sodom did, they refrained from coming there. So they're torturing people, stretching them out, raping them. This is, man, again, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. This is details of what's going on there. And when a poor man came to their land, they would give him silver and gold and cause a proclamation in the whole city to not give him a morsel of bread to eat. And if the stranger should remain there some days and die from hunger, not having been able to obtain a morsel of bread, then at his death, all the people of the city would come and take their silver and gold, which they had given to him. This is like some very sadistic stuff. So when someone poor would come in starving, they would give him gold and just abundance of money. They'll give him everything but food just to watch him suffer. And then when he would die, they would just take the money back. This is like this is heathenism, this is reprobates at its highest level. Moving forward. And those that could recognize the silver or gold which they had given him took it back. And at this death, they also stripped him of his garments, and they would fight about them. And he that prevailed over his neighbor took them. They would after that carry him and bury him under some of the shrubs in the deserts. So they did all the days to anyone that came to them and died in their land. And in the course of time, Sarah sent Eleazar to Sodom to see Lot and inquire after his welfare. And Eleazar went to Sodom, and he met a man of Sodom fighting with the stranger. And the man of Sodom stripped the poor man of all his clothes and went away. And this poor man cried to Eleazar and supplicated his favor on the account of what the man of Sodom had done to him. And he said to him, "Why dost thou act thus to the poor man who came to thy land?" And the man of Sodom answered Eleazar, saying, "Is this man thy brother, or have the people of Sodom made thee a judge this day that thou speakest about this man?" And Eleazar strove with the man of Sodom on account of the poor man. When Eleazar approached to recover the poor man's clothes from the man of Sodom, he hastened and with a stone smote Eleazar in the forehead. And the blood flowed copiously from Eleazar's forehead. And when the man saw the blood, he caught hold of Eleazar, saying, "Give me my hire for having rid thee of this bad blood that was in thy forehead, for such is the custom and law in our land." And Eleazar said to him, "Thou hast wounded me and requirest me to pay thee thy hire." And Eleazar would not hearken to the words of the man of Sodom. And the man laid hold of Eleazar and brought him to Shakrah, the judge of Sodom, for judgment. And the man spoke to the judge, saying, "I beseech thee, my lord, thus has this man done, for I smote him with a stone, that the blood flowed from his forehead, and is unwilling to give me my hire." And the judge said to Eleazar, "This man speaketh truth to thee. Give him his hire, for this is the custom of our land." And Eleazar heard the words of the judge, and he lifted up a stone and smote the judge. And the judge struck on his forehead, and the blood flowed copiously from the forehead of the judge. And Eleazar said, If this is then the custom in your land, give thou unto this man what I should have given him, for this has been thy decision. Thou didst decree it." And this Eleazar got some balls, man. He basically proving a point. He threw the rock right at the judge. Continuing. And Eleazar left the man of Sodom with the judge, and he went away. And when the kings of Elam had made war with the kings of Sodom, the kings of Elam captured all the property of Sodom, and they took Lot captive with his property. And when it was told to Abraham, he went and made war with the kings of Elam. And he recovered from their lands all the property of Lot, as well as the property of Sodom. At that time, the wife of Lot bare him a daughter, and he called her name Paltith, saying, "Because God had delivered him and his whole household from the kings of Elam." And Paltith, daughter of Lot, grew up, and one of the men of Sodom took for a wife. And a poor man came into the city to seek a maintenance, and he remained in the city of some days. And all the people of Sodom caused a proclamation of their custom to not give this man a morsel of bread to eat until he dropped dead upon the earth, and they did so. And Paltith, the daughter of Lot, saw this man lying in the streets, starved with hunger, and no one would give him anything to keep him alive. And he was just upon the point of death, and her soul was filled with pity on the account of the man. And she fed him secretly with bread for many days, and the soul of this man was revived. For then she went forth to fetch water. For when she went forth to fetch water, she would put the bread in the water pitcher. And then she came to the place where the poor man was. She took the bread from the pitcher and gave it to him to eat. So she did many days. And all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah wondered how this man could bear starvation for so many days. And they said to each other, "This can only be that he eats and drinks, for no man can bear starvation so many days or live as this man has without even his countenance changing." And three men concealed themselves in a place where the poor man was stationed to know who it was that brought him bread to eat. And Paltith, daughter of Lot, went forth that day to fetch water, and she put bread into the pitcher of water. And she went to draw water by the poor man's place, and she took out bread from the pitcher and gave it to the poor man, and he ate it. And the three men saw what Paltith did to the poor man, and they said to her, "It is thou then who hast supported him, and therefore has he not starved, nor changed in appearance, nor died like the rest." And the three men went out of the place in which they were concealed, and they seized Paltith and the bread which was in the poor man's hands. And they took Paltith and brought her before the judges, and they said to them, "Thus did she do, and it is she who supplied the poor man with bread. Therefore did he not die all this time. Now therefore declare to us the punishment due to this woman for having transgressed our law." And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah assembled and kindled a fire in the street of the city. And they took the woman and cast her into the fire, and she was burnt to ashes. And in the city of Admah, there was a woman to whom they did the like. For a traveler came into the city of Admah to abide there all night with the intention of going home in the morning. And he sat opposite the door of the house of the young woman's father, to remain there as the sun had set when he had reached that place. And the young woman saw him sitting by the door of the house, and he asked for her to drink of water. And she said to him, "Who art thou?" And he said to her, "I was this day going on the road and reached her when the sun set, so I will abide here all night. And in the morning I will arise early and continue my journey." And the young woman went into the house and fetched the man bread and water to eat and drink. And this affair became known to the people of Admah, and they assembled and brought the young woman before the judges, that they should judge her for this act. And the judge said, "The judgment of death must pass upon this woman, because she transgressed our law. And this therefore is the decision concerning her." And the people of those cities assembled and brought out the young woman, and anointed her with honey from head to foot, as the judge had decreed, and they placed her before a swarm of bees, which were then in their hives, and the bees flew upon her and stung her, that her whole body was swelled, and the young woman cried out on account of the bees, but no one took notice of her or pitied her, and her cries ascended to heaven. And the Lord was provoked at this, and at all the works of the cities of Sodom, for they had abundance of food and had tranquility amongst them, and still would not sustain the poor and the needy. And in those days their evil doings and sins became great before the Lord. And the Lord sent for the two of the angels that had come to Abram's house to destroy Sodom and the cities. And the angels rose up from the door of Abram's tent after they had eaten and drunk, and they reached Sodom in the evening, and Lot was then sitting in the gate of Sodom. When he saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground. And he was pressed them greatly, and brought them into his house. And he gave them victuals, which they ate, and they abode all night in the house. And the angel said to Lot, "Arise, go forth from this place, thou and all belonging to thee, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city, for the Lord will destroy this place." And the angels laid hold upon the land of Lot, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hands of his children, and all belonging to him. And they brought him forth and set him without the cities. And they said to Lot, "Escape for thy life," and he fled and all belonging to him. The Lord rained upon Sodom. The Lord rained Sodom and upon Gomorrah and upon all the cities, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. And Ado, the wife of Lot, looked back to see the destruction of the cities, for her compassion was moved on account of her daughters who remained in Sodom, for they did not go with her. And when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt, and it was yet in that place unto this day, when the oxen which stood in that place daily licked up the salt to the extremities of their feet. And in the morning it would spring forth afresh, and they again licked it upon unto this day. And Lot and two of his daughters that remained with him fled and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and they remained there for some time. And Abram rose up early in the morning to see what had been done to the cities of Sodom. And he looked and beheld the smoke of the cities going up like the smoke of a furnace. And Lot, his two daughters, remained in the cave, and they made their father drink wine and lay with him. For they said there was no man upon earth that could raise up seed from them. For they thought that the whole earth was destroyed, and they both lay with their father, and they conceived and bare sons. And the firstborn called the name of her son Moab, saying, "From my father did I conceive him. He is the father of the Moabites unto this day." And the younger also called her son Benjamin, is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And after this, Lot and his two daughters went away from thee, and he dwelt on the other side of the Jordan with his two daughters and their sons. And the sons of Lot grew up, and they went and took themselves wives from the land of Canaan, and they begot children, and they were fruitful and multiplied. Wow. So I don't even know how to explain that. I would need to do some studies and some research to understand why his daughters would want to get him drunk and sleep with them and have children. But I believe it also says this in the Bible. So this is not some kind of extra biblical evil text. You know, this is confirming actually what the Bible says. Maybe it was a curse because he messed up and his curse was to have to sleep with his daughters. I don't know, but it's very weird and very interesting, and I would like to get into it. If anybody has any information or some insight onto why this happened, that would be very helpful. But as you can see, we're getting into Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're just seeing how evil this place was. I mean, they didn't like you if you were poor. They would find pleasure in watching you starve and die and suffer. This is the people that were ruling Sodom and Gomorrah, and they had beds that they would just throw you on and rape you and stretch you until they split you in half, and God knows what else. And then, four times a year, your husband, wives, and daughters and sons just walk off into different houses and go sleep with someone else's husband, wife, daughter, son, whatever, two daughters together, you know, two men, two, whatever. Homosexuality, pedophilia, the whole nine yards is going on. And it was practice. It was like the law. This is how sick this place was. And the Bible says when the end time comes, we're going to go back to that. And we're not even there yet. It's bad now, but we're not there yet where it's the law where you could go, where it's a holiday, where you have to go to your neighbor's house and sleep with their wife. We're not there yet. Pedophilia is not out in the open and legal yet, but we're getting there. So this is how bad it's going to get, this bad, before the return of Christ. So with that being said, we're going to leave off right there on chapter 19. And when I continue this podcast, it will start on chapter 20, going into more detail on what happened. So I hope everybody is enjoying this little saga right here that I'm doing, and learning something new. You know, instead of reading it, you can just hear me read it. I'll do it for you. So with that being said, God bless everybody. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. It is Saturday. I believe it is April 20th, and it is 2:30 p.m. in California. So it's good afternoon for me. Good night or good morning to everybody else around the world listening. Thank you for listening. And if you want to become a member, subscribe, As I always say, it's on Buzzsprout. You can see the link in the bios of the episodes. Please help us out. It's only $7 a month. Also, if you have a story to tell us, a supernatural experience, a spiritual awakening, an encounter with God, a Bigfoot, werewolf, angel, demon, ghost, vampire, whatever it is, we want to hear it. It don't have to be that. Maybe you have some kind of... astral projection experiences, even sleep paralysis, prison stories. Maybe you're in a gang at one point. All those things are very interesting to me. We want to hear all that. It doesn't have to be just supernatural. So with that being said, again, good afternoon, everybody. I am out of here. I'm your host, Lionel Tavares, and stay tuned for the next episode.